Okay, I think we'll make a start. So, good afternoon. There we go. Yes, excellent. So, welcome. Thank you for coming along. I'm sure it's been a long day for all of you. It's been a long day for me. Backstage this morning at about 6 in the morning, so it's been a very long day. But it's a great way to wrap up the day by focusing on a bit of competitive insight and information. And this session is aimed at providing you a higher level look at some of the key advantages of the Microsoft private cloud capabilities over that of the other guys, vCloud, the VMware vCloud. And this by no means is any form of bashing session. It's very much about just presenting some of the key strengths that we feel the Microsoft private cloud has over the VMware vCloud and why. My name's Matt McSpirit. I'm one of our technical product managers in the Windows Server and System Center teams at Microsoft, based in the US. And this session is actually part of a two-part series, where part one will focus on private cloud, but part two, which is on Wednesday in the afternoon, again, last slot of the day, somebody must have been kind to me, we'll drill in and look a little bit more deeply at that underlying hypervisor level. So we'll look more focused at Hyper-V and vSphere specifically, rather than that broader ecosystem of management tools that form the private cloud. But for this session, we're going to focus on not the hypervisor. That's going to be our foundation for Wednesday. We're going to start to look at some of the technologies that sit on top. And in some cases, there's not always an apples-for-apples comparison. But what I've done here on this slide is laid out as close as we can get. So if you are making comparisons with the different capabilities and components within each stack, then these are where things typically line up. On the Microsoft side, providing that virtual machine management, as the name would suggest, is Virtual Machine Manager. And you saw some of it this morning with Vijay, and you'll see some more in a little bit more granular detail now as well. But VMM as a name is actually starting to get a little bit more misleading because it does a lot more than manage just virtual machines now. It's providing a lot more granular control and delivery of not just VMs, but applications and services into clouds, as we'll see as we go forward. And vCenter in the VMware world is very focused on delivering best-in-breed management for the ESXi and ESX hosts, if you're still using those. And it gives you that granular control of your virtualized infrastructure. But as we start to look beyond just that virtualized infrastructure, more and more people are starting to think about, okay, how can I deliver cloud computing-esque capabilities like self-service within my environment? And from a Microsoft standpoint, we brought to market a product within, or a component within System Center 2012 called App Controller, which gives simple, rich, intuitive self-service access to your virtualized infrastructure. And on the VMware side, whilst it lines up from a it's a self-service product perspective, vCloud Director is actually a little bit more complex and offers a little bit more granular configuration for certain elements of private cloud configuration. App Controller takes a little bit more of a simple way of delivering access in a controlled way to key users within your environment. And we'll explore some of that as we go forward as well. But then we start to get beyond the provisioning and the VM management, and we start to look at the infrastructure as a whole. And how can we start to gain that level of visibility? And we saw in the keynote this morning, and again we'll see more in this session, of how tools like Operations Manager on the Microsoft side can start to provide visibility not only into our virtualized infrastructure, but also inside those VMs to help us understand just what is going on with our key apps and workloads. Because at the end of the day, that's what's powering our business. Whether a mailbox, whether an email system or a CRM system is virtualized or not is largely irrelevant to the consumer of that application. I need my email. I don't need to know where it's coming from. So whether it's private cloud, public cloud, whether it's a virtual machine or physical is irrelevant. But tools like Operations Manager on the Microsoft side provide us with that level of granularity and understanding of the health of those kind of applications to ensure they're optimized wherever they are. And VMware, if we'd have stood here perhaps 2 years ago and talked about monitoring of applications and workloads, it would have been a radically different story. But VMware has been incredibly busy acquiring but also building technologies to give them a stronger management portfolio beyond that of just vCenter. So this vCenter operations management suite is actually a number of components within that particular product set. For monitoring, for diagram views of different applications. So they're giving you a lot of granularity and control within that suite, which obviously fits within a bigger suite as well. But we think about protection. How can we ensure best-in-class protection, not only for VMs, but also for things like our workloads, Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, Active Directory, file servers? How can I manage all of that, and can I manage it centrally? Does it scale? What's the performance like? On the Microsoft side, DPM has gone through a number of iterations through the years, and in 2012 SP1, it certainly doesn't get all of the headlines associated with System Center as a whole. Tools like VMM and Ops Manager seem to get a lot of the press, but DPM still plugging away, providing great backup capabilities for your key applications and workloads. And in this release, in 2012 SP1, DPM has been radically improved in terms of scale and performance for protecting Hyper-V-based virtual machines. But on the VMware side, VMware have been equally busy integrating now and utilizing some of the Avamar technology from EMC to deliver a more capable backup product within their stack. A couple of years back, it would have been left to partners, or VMware had a very SMB-focused product in their stack. But now, with vSphere Data Protection, they're actually offering a lot more capability and have just started to introduce elements of workload-specific protection as well. So whereas DPM has always had the ability to protect things like Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, Hyper-V, and so on, and VMware's offerings have been very VM-focused, now we're starting to see a little bit more granular workload protection offered by VMware as well. It's a very exciting space. It's very competitive in that area in itself. But then we look at the final couple of areas, service management and automation. And we saw in the keynote this morning with Michael how he utilized some of the key runbooks to actually start to scale out and scale back workloads in public and private cloud environments. So the stuff you can do with automation is phenomenal. But at the same time, it's important to have that level of control. Just running runbooks all over the place could see things rapidly scale out of control. So we need to have that level of control and change management within the environment. And from a Microsoft standpoint, Orchestrator is that engine to deliver those runbooks, that automation. But Service Manager is that control element. Do I want an approval process associated with certain runbooks? Do I want to approve certain people doing certain tasks? Do I want to provide a menu of resources and choices to my end users who can then request private clouds or new virtual machines or new SQL servers or whatever it may be? Because Service Manager, combined with Orchestrator, gives us that kind of capability. And we'll explore that as we go forward. But VMware in this space have been busy. They've had an orchestration tool for a little while, vCenter Orchestrator, which many of you who may have investments in VMware will probably be licensed for. It comes with vSphere and vCenter. However, just more recently, VMware acquired a company and a product called Dynamic Ops. And Dynamic Ops was transformed into vCloud Automation Center, which is not only giving them an element of service management for users to go in and request resources, I'd like a private cloud or a new VM or whatever it may be, but it's also giving them another automation engine. So there's two there. So something to think about in terms of how you automate your infrastructure. Do you go vCenter Orchestrator? Do you go vCloud Automation Center? Decisions to be made there. With Microsoft, it's Orchestrator, and that's the only choice. But we'll explore many of these as we go forward, some in more detail than others throughout the session. But how do I get hold of these technologies? Well, with Hyper-V, it's free as a download. So Microsoft Hyper-V Server 2012 is free to download for everybody and contains all of the Hyper-V good stuff that you've seen this morning, the network virtualization, the scalability, the performance. But it doesn't come with any Windows Server guest operating system licenses. If you need licenses for your guest, you can acquire them by purchasing Windows Server through a different mechanism. Windows Server also includes Hyper-V if you choose to go down that route as well. But from a System Center perspective, all of those components that we talk about and more, as Brad talked about this morning, so technologies like Advisor now freely available, Global Service Monitor, anybody who's licensed for System Center can get hold of that as well. They're all part of System Center. But with VMware, you'll see that all of that stuff that's in there is part of the vCloud suite and with vCenter on top. So there's simplified models for both sides to acquire these technologies. Now, we'll look at costs and license fees and stuff at the end, and it is quite a staggering difference between the two. But ultimately, the key thing here is both vendors have made efforts to simplify how organizations who want to go to private cloud type infrastructures, they've simplified how you acquire those type of technologies. What are the kind of attributes that we want to focus on? Well, Brad, in the keynote this morning, was talking about how we pool the data center effectively across storage, across networking, across compute. And that pooling of resources that's enabled by some of the system center tools helps us to then optimally utilize our services and our applications on the top. So we're better utilizing our infrastructure and being able to scale on demand as we see fit. And that elasticity is driven typically by things like automation. You saw Michael's demo, how he scaled out his infrastructure, in this case on Azure, but we're focused on private cloud in this example. But same kind of thing applies. And self-service, being able to log in as a certain user, see certain things that they can do. I'm allowed to create a new virtual machine. I'm allowed to access a new private cloud, whatever it may be. But those tasks that are performed by the end users, the application owners, the business unit members, automation is driving all of the infrastructure parts behind the back end. So they don't have to worry about that. And finally, we're seeing more and more organizations, particularly who are rolling out large enterprise scale clouds, they're starting to think about how can I start to charge or at least show what my different business units are using within the infrastructure. I want to be able to give reports to my business units to say, these are your busiest virtual machines, and they're using this amount of CPU, memory, disk. I want to be able to say, okay, let's associate a cost with that, a dollar value per gigabyte or per megabyte of network or whatever it may be. More and more organizations are looking at that kind of infrastructure now and set up for their private clouds, because these attributes are applicable to both public and private cloud. If you go into Office 365 or you go to Windows Azure, you'll see that we're pooling the resources, we're allowing you self-service, it's scalable on demand, and you're charged for what you use. But with private cloud, it's a little bit different, because you can take all of those great attributes, and because you're running it on your infrastructure, powered by the technologies that are under control of your IT admins, you can tweak and tailor the system to meet your needs. So that control and that ability to customize is very, very important. But we're going to focus today on a number of areas, and we'll whip through these to help us understand just where Microsoft's key advantages are. So when we think about how we deploy applications faster, Microsoft's got some significant advantages in the way we allow you to define virtual machines and templates and streamline deployment of multi-tiered templates as well. We'll talk briefly about how we provide that extra level of insight into your applications, your workloads, and your infrastructure, and how we provide a better level of granular protection for your key applications and workloads in the environment. We'll take a look at how Microsoft is striving ahead as a design decision we made early to help organizations who've got mixed infrastructures better manage those infrastructures. So there's a big focus on heterogeneous management in the Microsoft private cloud. It's not just about Microsoft technology. It's helping you embrace what you've got across a number of different tools, whether they be management, hardware tools, software tools, whatever it may be, and incorporating them into the Microsoft private cloud. And then we'll talk about the different approaches for hybrid. You've seen indications this morning in the keynote of how Microsoft is delivering hybrid, certainly from one angle, connecting on-premise with Windows Azure. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than just Azure and our own private data center. There's other things we can consider. And Microsoft's approach is slightly different, both technically and in concept, to VMware's, and we'll explore that. And we'll wrap up with a little bit of talk about cost. So if we start off with that granular app and service deployment, and I want to jump straight into a demo just to highlight some of these key capabilities. And thankfully, as it stands, the network is up, so we're good to go. And what we've got on the screen here is Virtual Machine Manager. Now, I'm sure many of you have either used or seen or perhaps been to sessions today with VMM. But one thing that I love about Virtual Machine Manager, whether it was System Center 2012 SP1 or the previous release 2012, is just the level of granular configuration I have around controlling my template provisioning. Now, we all know that templates speed up how quickly I can deploy new virtual machines. And many of you, I'm sure, in your environments, if you've got VMware, if you've got alternative hypervisor platforms, you're using a number of different templates for a number of different reasons. But in my library within VMM, I've got a couple of templates here, and if we explore the properties of this particular Windows Server 2012 template. The nice thing about the Windows Server and VMM template specifically is that they're made up of layers, series of layers that I can combine at different times in different ways in order to deploy my virtual machines in the most effective way. And what do I mean by that? Well, you'll see down the left-hand side, we've got a number of different options. We'll take hardware configuration as an example. This is where I can define a specific VM hardware configuration ready to deploy out to my infrastructure. And in this case, you'll see it's got 2 procs, it's got 2 gig of RAM. It's also got a particular, if I go back to my hard drive here, sysprepped virtual disk. So it's got a VHDX file that's sysprepped, and VMM handles that, so this VM is generalized. It's ready to be deployed multiple times, and there's not going to be any conflicts when it's joined to the Active Directory, joined to the domain. But the key thing here is I can define all of these different settings, these hardware profiles, and then I can save it. So I can save this as a specific hardware profile that I can reuse later. So I'm defining a specific layer associated with VM hardware. But if I come back, OS configuration is where we start to get a little bit more granular. Now, having deployed virtual machines in VMware's environments using vCenter, it doesn't give me as much granularity as I get with Virtual Machine Manager here. The ability to define things like roles and features of the operating system that is contained within this virtual machine template. So right on the fly, when I'm deploying virtual machines, I can have them have specific functionality enabled as part of the launch process. So this one I may want to deploy, and I may want to turn it into a web server, for instance. So I'll tick the appropriate boxes, and on deployment time, it's going to enable those specific configurations. But again, I can save that as an OS config. So at this point, I could start to combine different hardware profiles with different OS profiles and start to create templates associated with those. If I come back out of there, it's at this point VMM starts to get even more granular with the application config. Because now we're going beyond just thinking about virtual machine is just a hardware profile and an OS. Because the application profile starts to allow me to incorporate additional layers within my platform, within my virtual machine. I could harness the web application. So this virtual machine, when it's deployed from this template, will not only have the web server features and roles enabled specifically, but it will also have MS Deploy or web deploy packages as part of this particular template. So that not only are we deploying a virtual machine that's a web server enabled, but it's also going to have the relevant website stuff it needs ready to get going very, very quickly. I can add a virtual application. You think, what's a virtual application? This is a virtual machine. What are we talking about here? This is server application virtualization. So think about AppV for a second. On the desktop, a lot of our customers use AppV as a way to package applications like Office or Adobe Reader or whatever it may be and stream them across the network to laptops and desktops, saving the need to install the application on the local device, and it makes it easy to update and maintain that application. This is a similar kind of technology, but on the server side. So allowing you to package your server applications in a bubble, effectively, and attach them as part of a template. So this could be a core line of business application. It could be a Microsoft application. Now, not all Microsoft apps are supported, so I couldn't package Exchange, for instance. But I could choose a number of applications, SQL Server Reporting Services as an example, package it as a virtual application, and attach it here. But the final area are the SQL DAC packages. So I could add a specific SQL data tier application, and in addition, I could add to this deployment a specific SQL Server configuration, specifying where the media of SQL Server is, the SQL Server administrators, turning on certain TCP/IP connections, and specifying things like the service accounts. So if I regularly needed to be deploying database VMs, think my SQL team, oh, I need a new database VM to do job X. Well, I can build them a SQL Server VM for that specific purpose. And how would I create this? How would I get to this SQL Server VM? Well, the first thing you would do is you'd build a gold virtual machine with your Windows Server operating system. You'd then install SQL Server, your chosen version, let's say 2012, but you'd go through the advanced installation option. because what you're going to choose is the I would like to install a sysprepTOR image deployment version of SQL Server. So it's going to effectively install SQL into that gold VM, but in a way that's sysprepable at the end. And once that process is finished, then you create your virtual machine manager template, which syspreps the whole OS, including SQL. So you've now got a virtual hard disk that's not only got the Windows Server OS, but it's got the SQL Server bits inside as well. And that's what you attach to your virtual machine template for SQL Server. And that enables me to rapidly accelerate the deployment of things like SQL VMs. So we can really drive forward a great level of speed there. But the nice thing is about these templates, and this is, again, slightly different from the VMware environment, and think back to that example I gave with all the different layers. I can have lots and lots of different templates all pointing at the same virtual disk. And all of those individual templates could have different hardware profiles, different guest OS profiles, different application profiles, but they could all point at the same virtual disk, which means my storage consumption is dramatically reduced, but I'm still able to provide the granularity of making templates very specific. These are just simple library objects. So that is a significant improvement over previous waves of what we've provided in our template process, and really enables you to streamline deployment of our of virtual machines in the infrastructure. But they are just regular templates in VMM. Service templates take that one step further. And this morning you saw Vijay with his service template designer. And if we create a service template here, I can specify it. Now imagine the scenario, for instance. We want to deploy a new line of business application that's got multiple tiers. There's a database tier, there's a web front end, and there's an application tier. I can model that in Virtual Machine Manager. So I'll create a new template. I'll call this version 1. And I can scroll down and create my three-tier application. And it's going to use our templates that we've built up already as building blocks. So I can literally drag in our templates here that we've got. I'll drag on my SQL one here. I'll drag on a Windows Server here. And I'll drag on another SQL here. It's got two database backends, this application. It's very strange. anyway, I'm just working with what I've got. But in this case now, this is where the granularity starts to come into its own. Because I've just selected one of the particular tiers, and I can give it a name. Tier 1, it's already established a relationship, as we can see behind here, with the other tiers, so they're all connected to the same network, and I could throw a load balancer in there as well if I want. So this is some of the granularity that VMM is providing, integrating with those different pieces of network infrastructure. But here's a key one. This machine can be scaled out. So you can see here that I can define the scale-out rules for this particular tier to say, you know what, if this is a web front end, we'll start with 1, but I may want to add more and more web tiers as we go forward. So let's tick this box and allow this particular tier to be scaled out. Now, you may notice these little upgrade domains here. What's an upgrade domain? Well, these service templates, once they've been deployed, we might need to push out an update to the VM OS across all three of these VMs in this template. Well, what if we need to reboot one of the VMs in the template? What if I need to take something down? That's going to affect the application. Well, these upgrade domains effectively allow me to manage, and we'll see shortly in a slide, effectively allow me to manage the updating of these service templates by taking VM, multiple VMs within a single tier, and orchestrating the patching and the rebooting of individual VMs within tiers to ensure that the applications always stay up and online. We're really giving you a lot of granularity within these services and these service templates. And they really allow Microsoft and you as an administrator to deploy multi-tiered applications more quickly and be more responsive to the business. Now, I've got an example here of a three-tier app, but yours could just be a client-server VM service template used by your development team. It could be something as simple as that. It could be two servers, it could be two clients. However you carve and slice and dice your service templates is entirely up to you, but it just gives you that granularity and that control. Once we've deployed and once we've provisioned our service templates, well, it's letting me come out of here. Hopefully my network is still, oh, there we go. Does it all at once. Once we've configured our virtual machine templates and we're ready to push them out across the network, how do we do that? How do we control who can access what? Well, that's where our self-service experience comes in, where through App Controller, Let me log in actually as a self-service user. When we log in, because of the integrated Active Directory support, the role-based administration, when I log in, I only see the information I'm supposed to be seeing. I can only see the certain aspects of the infrastructure. So I could see, for instance, I've been delegated a single virtual machine cloud, virtual machine manager cloud. I've been given access to the Contoso SQL cloud in this case within virtual machine manager. When I choose to deploy, I'm only presented with the specific templates that have been made available to me. In this case, I've been provided with a single virtual machine template that I could then deploy through this self-service mechanism. So simplistic in its usage with App Controller, but it's enabling me to do things very, very quickly. All I'm allowed to access is what I can see. All I can see is what I'm allowed to access based on our access control rules that we've got at the back end. Now, if I sign out of there and sign in as, say, for example, let's sign as our SQL admin. Oh, no. Let's see if that's right. I may have to check my credentials. Let's just check my username here. SQL DBA, that's the one I'm looking for. There we go, SQL DBA. I'm never going to get in there as SQL admin. So as a database administrator, I'm logging in through this self-service portal, and all I see now is access to certain different components within the infrastructure, and it's seeing that I'm actually consuming some of my resources, my private cloud, that I've been delegated by IT. So I'm able to see a rich view. I can understand exactly what I've been delegated. In this case, I'm using some of my allowance that I've been delegated. I'm using two of my four virtual machines. I'm using a number of my virtual processors. And when I come to deploy, unlike the previous person who tried, now, because I'm a different user and I've got different requirements, I see different templates. In fact, I see a service template. And I can go ahead and start to customize and deploy that within the environment. And it's going to automatically provision that at the back end. So it's going to ask me for a few bits of information. But once that's done, it's going to help me deploy that application and that workload. And that's going to be a pre-configured SQL virtual machine, which is great for me as a DBA because it's rapidly accelerated my access to that application. Now, what we saw there was creating some templates very briefly and looking at some of the properties of some of those templates and the service templates. And then we saw very briefly again, me as a DBA, but also as another self-service user, logging into App Controller, which is a Silverlight-based, quite a rich console, logging in and accessing certain templates, and I could go ahead and deploy virtual machines from those. But what if I wanted to put that level of control in front? What if I wanted to say, you know what, you can't just go to App Controller and request whatever and deploy whatever you want. You need to be able to request that infrastructure, and we need to give you permission. And that's where Service Manager comes in. Because Service Manager provides a CMDB ITIL-aligned service management tool within that System Center product that provides not only incident management, problem management, change, release management, the core ITIL tenants, but it also gives me the ability as IT to define an IT as a service infrastructure. So we deliver the request capability, and we can see here that I as a user could log in and I want to request access to cloud services. At the bottom there, for instance, where I can change virtual machine expiration. I need to access a server. I need to create a new server. Whatever these may be, these service catalogs that you can define is almost like a restaurant menu where I say, okay, I can choose from the steak or I can choose from the vegetarian, whatever it may be. Now I can choose VMs, applications, services right from Service Manager. So it's giving you the ability to provide that menu to your end users. But the beauty of Service Manager is its integration points. Within literally a couple of minutes, I can connect Service Manager to all of my key assets within my System Center environment, from Operations Manager, so the alerts collect within Service Manager, from Virtual Machine Manager, so I can pull all of the clouds, the templates, the virtual machines into Service Manager. for Active Directory, so I know who people are and what they should be able to access. All of those different connectors are in the box, so I can very quickly build up my CMDB of knowledge and start to harness that in order to provide services out to my end users. And we can define rich reports and using the BI capabilities to ensure that we're providing guidance, chargeback, information, whatever it may be, to our end users and consumers. But service management on its own, if you're not a service management guy, is a beast. It's a big set of technology, big set of components. And if you just want to use it to harness the power of IT as a service or infrastructure as a service, then I would advise you to download the free Cloud Services Process Pack. Now, we've just released the updated version for SP1, and the CSPP helps you leverage investments in VMM, which is managing the virtual machine infrastructure, leveraging investments in Service Manager with its CMDB, leveraging investments in Orchestrator for runbook automation, and leveraging investment in Ops Manager for monitoring. And it helps connect all of those by delivering you a complete menu that's pre-built that you can import and utilize and customize to really accelerate your delivery of IT as a service and infrastructure as a service. So it contains the service offerings and request offerings for you to get started. So your end users will be able to go to the portal and ask for a new virtual machine or access to a cloud or whatever it may be. And the approval process you can then put in place can then see that through to completion, because not only does it provide service requests for things like, I would like to access a cloud, or I would like a new virtual machine, or I would like an increased capacity for my cloud, all of those type of requests, but the CSPP also contains all of the runbooks to drive this at the back end. So you don't have to have all of the orchestrator expertise in order to set all of this up. So very quickly, you can define internally an infrastructure as a service platform for your consumers to request infrastructure. And as I said, Orchestrator is a key component of that. The runbooks that you import through the CSPP will rapidly populate your Orchestrator view, so you can then start to define and automate key processes within the environment. But the nice thing about Orchestrator is it lets me integrate with not just Microsoft stuff, but non-Microsoft stuff as well. So I can start to automate vSphere, or I could start to automate integration with HP tools, or BMC, or NetApp storage, or whatever it may be. So I can really use Orchestrator as a linchpin between so many different management components and hardware and software components that it can really start to drive a level of automation within our environment that's very compelling and helps us to reduce down our costs. The beauty of Orchestrator is that third-party integration. And VMware's Orchestrator tools are lacking a lot of that integration with third parties. We provide our integration packs for download, and there are some fantastic partners who are also building integration packs you can download that integrate with Orchestrator and allow you to manage other stuff. But with VMware, their ecosystem is very focused on automating vSphere, which is fine, but it doesn't help you in a heterogeneous environment. So that extensibility, yes, you can use the partner-produced or the Microsoft-produced integration packs, but you can also integrate and extend yourself. So if we start to compare some of the capabilities between VMware and Microsoft on this application delivery, VMware with that vCloud Automation Center that they acquired, yes, you can request infrastructure. I'd like a new VM or I'd like a new cloud, but it's not integrated with any CMDB, not like Service Manager. So it's not that change managed integrated with the rest of the help desk type solution that Service Manager can provide, but it still would provide you the ability to request resources. But when we look at the templates, we both provide standardized templates. But with VMware, each of those templates would have its own VMDK, unless you're managing vSphere with VMM. Because if you manage vSphere with Virtual Machine Manager, which is one of its key capabilities, VMM will manage Hyper-V, VMware, and Citrix infrastructures. If you're managing vSphere with VMM, you can take advantage of all of those different layers, the hardware layer, the OS layer, the application layer that we talked about, but you're using it with a VMDK at the back end. So when talking with some of our customers around this, the storage savings they can make potentially in larger environments are considerable. So it's certainly something to consider. But with VMware, that's a little bit different. they don't provide that level of granularity around those roles and features either. However, if you do start to look beyond vSphere and look at some of the other technologies within their portfolio, like vFabric Application Director, for instance, that's a product that would deliver those multi-tiered templates just like we showed in VMM. However, it's a product that's out here. It's another technology. We feel that's core to VMM, that's core to virtual machine deployment, being able to deploy those multi-tiered virtual machines and have the granularity for configuration that we provide. So yes, you can do it with vSphere in the vCloud, and it's part of that vCloud suite. However, the vFabric Application Director SKU that you get as part of that vCloud suite, it's just for provisioning from the multi-tiered templates. If you want to do things like release management, so I'd like to update a multi-tiered application and deploy new VMs in its place, that's not included in the vCloud suite. You would need to buy that separately for that release management angle. But VMM's got it all contained within its in the single SKU. And when we talk about clouds, deployment across different clouds, we saw earlier App Controller. I could have deployed a new virtual machine or from a template into my SQL cloud in this case. But that SQL cloud, what I didn't talk about is that could have been backed by Hyper-V hosts, it could have been backed by Citrix Xen Server hosts, or it could have had VMware vSphere hosts as part of that private cloud. Because VMM allows us to pool resources across multiple hypervisors and then deploy on top. With VMware, through the vCloud Automation Center, so what was Dynamic Ops, they do now provide provisioning across non-vSphere environments. So you've got the ability to deploy virtual machines into Amazon and Hyper-V and Xen-based infrastructures as well. But anything that goes beyond vSphere in this vCloud suite, you're paying per managed instance. So the price can rack up quite quickly. But just something to be aware of. And all the information is there on those links as well. So we spent a little bit of time on app deployment, but I want to delve in quickly into monitoring. And we saw this morning how I can, in fact, let me go back. Oops. It's that coffee cup again. Can't get away from it. If I go to Operations Manager in here, I can use Ops Manager to monitor my key pieces of my infrastructure, whether they're virtualized or physical, whether they're storage or network related, whatever it may be. So Ops Manager is giving me the granularity of what's going on in my infrastructure. And if I go to my alerts view and see what's been happening, and it could be anything because I haven't checked this for a few days, you can see that there's all sorts going on, which is good demo fodder in terms of we've got to have some alerts. You'll see there are some relating to VMware's infrastructure because not only am I able to monitor my Hyper-V infrastructure, but by using the Veeam management pack, version 6, which has just launched, the Veeam management pack allows me to monitor things like vSphere's infrastructure at a very, very granular level. And there's a session, I think, tomorrow morning where you'll find you can learn more about that when the guys will be demonstrating. And obviously, they're present in the expo hall as well. But they offer a great management pack for allowing Operations Manager to monitor the virtualized infrastructure, specifically to VMware here. And that's a key strength of Operations Manager over some of the VMware technologies that they use for monitoring, is that extensibility. The ability to import these management packs from different sources, whether they're from Microsoft, for all the Microsoft core applications, or whether they're from other vendors for stuff you've got in your environment. So if you've got NetApp storage, for instance, import the NetApp on-command management pack. If you're using VMware, purchase the Veeam management pack to monitor VMware's infrastructure. There's lots of different partners who are producing management packs that plug straight into Ops Manager and allow you to monitor your core infrastructure and services. And we'll see here we've got a database that's got low space. And if we open the Health Explorer view here, we can see that which particular database it is. And we're getting, like we saw this morning, and there's not a huge amount of knowledge there, but it's still fairly useful. Yes, your database is full. What could be causing that? Lots of data, I would have thought. But the cause is it's giving me information, what I could potentially do, and potential resolutions. Well, the resolution here is increase the amount of free space. Yep, you think? But there are a lot of alerts and guidance that's baked into Operations Manager that allows me to at least start to remediate these problems more quickly. But you know what? If I don't have it in my particular product knowledge within Operations Manager, but it's something I've encountered before, then I can start to edit and populate the company knowledge. So if it's a line of business application that we're monitoring, and I know that if this happens, I need to perform this task, then I can feed that in to the company knowledge within these management packs. So it really has got that extensibility, that depth of knowledge. And as we saw this morning, within Operations Manager, the alerts view, and down to the lines of code that are causing the problem within some of our applications. Again, whether they're physical or virtualized, it just doesn't matter. And there are management packs that allow us that level of granularity for lots of different applications and workloads in the environment. We've got another alert here that relates to WSUS, and we've got a suspicious silent client state. So we've got clients out there that aren't responding to WSUS or haven't responded for a period of time. So again, that's something I should perhaps investigate. But the nice thing is about Ops Manager is its context sensitivity. So when I click on certain aspects or certain tasks or certain items on the left-hand side or in the main window, I'm getting certain commands that I can perform on the right-hand side. So it's giving me that granular control and the knowledge and awareness and insight. And with Advisor now, that free cloud service, remember, I can take advantage of that by installing the Advisor components, which we've just launched in preview, so you can download them. It uses and harnesses the Operations Manager agent, so I can then get configuration guidance, like we saw this morning, of my database was missing a consistency check, or I'm missing a certain update on a server that, as a best practice, should be applied for better levels of performance or configuration. So Advisor is giving me that knowledge and that guidance. But could I use Advisor if I don't have a pure Microsoft environment? What if I've got vSphere? Am I going to gain any benefit there? Absolutely. Advisor is going to tell you nothing about your ESX hosts or ESXi hosts, but you could certainly run the agents inside virtual machines and gain insight into your configuration of SQL or SharePoint or Link or Exchange or whatever it may be. So there's still a lot of interoperability there running in a mixed infrastructure that you can take advantage of. An Advisor doesn't require Operations Manager to function. So if you've not got a deployment of OpsMan, you can still take advantage of Advisor and access the guidance and alerts through a rich web console, which looks a little bit like this. So this is the Advisor web console that we didn't have time to show in the keynote this morning. So when I drill in here, in particular, here's the clean consistency check alert that I highlighted this morning. If we scroll down here, alert description and some useful guidance, and then a bit of information here as well. Now, that's the Advisor web console. So even if I've not got an investment in OpsMan, I can still take advantage of this. And it's free. It's a free cloud service, which is awesome. So that was a little bit about the application performance monitoring and what we can provide in terms of granular levels of insight into the infrastructure. But Ops Manager doesn't just stop at apps and OSs and hardware. It also looks beyond at things like network. Now, VMware doesn't provide this level of guidance and insight into your infrastructure. So you're generally going to be looking at other tools. And its strengths, whilst VMware's tools are now getting more and more mature and capable, they're still very virtualization focused. Whereas a lot of organizations still have a lot of stuff that's outside of that environment. But with OpsMan, we can see that rich view of the network and understand what's going on and see rich views of how things relate to virtual machines and the networks to understand what impact network outages may have on certain virtual machines and maybe where we should move virtual machines to as a result. And when we start to drill in a little bit more into the information that's provided, we can see information about the type of OS that's running on a node or router or switch or whatever it may be. So very granular configuration guidance that's provided within Ops Manager. And as we've seen, Ops Manager is not just for server-side stuff where the error with the application was this morning. It can help us from the client side using things like its integrated application performance monitoring, but also now GSM to help us from an outside-in perspective. And it helps us to test and simulate end users and their experience, which is really, really useful to ensure that we can provide a great level of service beyond just the virtual machines and the infrastructure. But we touched on this morning the relationship between IT pros and developers. So the end user says, oh, my app's running slow. IT pro says, well, network's looking good because Ops Manager can tell us that information. The code's passed. We're not seeing any issues with the code as such. It's good. It passed all the testing according to the devs. And the servers, Ops Manager can tell us it's running fine. But when we drill in and look at some of the dashboard views within Operations Manager, and this is where OpsMan and Microsoft's product portfolio really starts to come into its own, is that we can see that, yeah, things are good on the server side, but client side, because we've got that complete 360-degree view, we can see that there's issues that we need to drill into and explore in a little bit more detail. So helping your dev teams and application owners pinpoint exactly what's going on. Now, VMware do have monitoring tools within their VCOP suite that can monitor applications, Java, .NET, whatever it may be. But they don't have the knowledge and the guidance and remediation guidance that Operations Manager provides to help you optimize and configure optimally based on these changing conditions. And we learned about GSM this morning. So I upload the web test from my Visual Studio developers. I push that into GSM that's powered by Windows Azure. And GSM then starts to test our web application from its 16 points of presence around the globe, which allows me to scale my web testing without needing to deploy extra infrastructure. It gives me that idea of what my customers were experiencing from their different locations. And if there is an issue, that issue is piped back from through GSM back to Operations Manager, and we can start to understand and figure out what's going on with that problem by pushing it, as we said this morning, delegating back to engineering and helping them to fix the problem. But that root cause analysis is very, very important. It gives us a real leg up, an advantage above and beyond VMware. But that's the monitoring side. But many of you think, well, monitoring's great, and it can help our devs understand exactly what's going wrong. But a lot of our developers just need the ability to deploy new environments to test stuff. They're not too worried about the monitoring. They want to be able to spin up new test environments and rigs very, very quickly. And to do that, Microsoft integrates VMM with Team Foundation Server and Test and Lab Manager in order to deploy and enable the devs to quickly deploy new infrastructure. So I'm a development team. I need to deploy a set of virtual machines in order to do my testing and build my application. And through the Visual Studio integration, using the tools that the devs have and use from day to day, like Test and Lab Manager, I can not only deploy a new environment, through a couple of steps, through quick wizards, I can define the particular test and the infrastructure that I'm going to deploy. In this case, it's a VMM environment that we're connecting to here. So you've got the option to deploy on physical or use machines that are already set up. In this case, we're going to connect to VMM and choose the templates we've got in VMM and deploy our applications from there. So you can define those templates in the same way we saw earlier, but now they're exposed to your developers through an interface that they're using day to day to deploy and test applications. And within a couple of clicks and a bit of information entering, the developer's able to spin up and deploy their complete environment. They define which test controllers, they're defining network isolation so that if they need to spin up multiple instances of a combination of VMs that they don't want to conflict, they can do that very quickly using the network isolation. And once it's complete, we've deployed that into the infrastructure. And we've touched on Advisor already. So a cloud service helping us to resolve issues, helping us to provide guidance and understanding what's going on. And when we compare with VMware, yes, VMware do now start to provide the management of infrastructure that hasn't been virtualized through that vCenterOps suite. However, the broad vCloud suite that we referenced right at the start of the session, that isn't licensed per physical servers. So yes, you can license your virtual infrastructure with this vCloud suite, but as soon as you want to start managing physical servers, you're down into the individual SKUs that you may want to configure on a per-machine basis. So the cost can start to increase quite rapidly. When we think about deep application insight, yes, VMware's tools do start to provide that monitoring level of information, but lacking the guidance and remediation guidance that something like System Center can provide. And VMware has no integration now since discontinuing or end-of-lifing the lab management tool, which many customers used and found pretty useful, but it's now end-of-life, with customers being encouraged to give their devs access to vCloud Director, which is like a square peg in a round hole. It's not integrated with any dev tools. It's not a true dev-type environment. Yes, they can access their virtual machines that have been provisioned, just like they could through App Controller. But with the integration with Team Foundation Server on the Microsoft side, you're giving them an interface, an integrated interface, that they can use and integrate with their core development lifecycle tools, which is very, very strong. So we'll briefly touch on application protection. And DPM does a great job of protecting key Microsoft workloads up to every 15 minutes, depending on the workload, workloads like SharePoint, SQL, Exchange, all of the latest versions as well. And it will back up not only to disk, but some people still want to back up to tape, which is fine if that's what you want to do. DPM integrates with tape to enable you to do that. It also integrates with Operations Manager to help you centrally monitor and manage DPM at scale. So if you do want to aggregate all of the views of your DPM backup infrastructure, Ops Manager is going to allow you to do that through the central console. But something that's new and just been released and integrated with SP1 is the Windows Azure Backup. So now, instead of me maybe using tape as my long-term archive, I'll back up my stuff, whether it's Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, VMs, whatever it may be, and then I'll offload it to Windows Azure. So there's an executable I can download from the web, I can install on my DPM server, and I can set up the configuration, presuming I have a subscription, that will now back up DPM stuff into blob storage on Azure, allowing me to take advantage of that huge scalability that's available in Azure that's going to be there in case I need it to pull down in the future. Brad's example with Store Simple was a good example of how that can be very, very important. Now, this is slightly different, but will give you the same kind of end benefit. I can also do low-cost off-site protection as well, with putting a DPM on one site, putting a DPM on another site, and doing DPM to DPM for DR. So if I lost a site, I could restore from a backup. That's not going to be as fast and as efficient and as quick as something like Hyper-V Replica, which you'll learn more about in the Hyper-V sessions and in my session on Wednesday, but it's still going to give you a very low-cost DR story between sites. And as I said earlier, DPM has been massively accelerated through its integration with Windows Server 2012. So we've seen 900% performance improvement in backing up VMs simultaneously on cluster shared volumes on Hyper-V. So the scalability, the performance is there. It's understanding Hyper-V. It now allows you to exclude page files, which is something, a granular configuration, which can save you a considerable amount of space. And of these virtual machines, each DPM server can protect up to 800, and within each VM, I can extract individual items from those backups. So it's given me the granular level of control. It's also what understands just what's going on in the infrastructure. As VMs are moving around, as being live migrated, if we're taking a backup at that time, is it going to be able to handle that? Absolutely. Whether it's a live migration, a shared nothing live migration, a storage live migration, whatever it may be, DPM understands all of those different components. And as we said, through that simple executable I can download and run, I can now integrate DPM with Windows Azure to offload my backups or my archiving of my backups into blob storage on Azure. And if we start to compare with VMware, literally a couple of months ago, that granular workload protection on the VMware side would have been a no. But now they've started to deploy and integrate and use more of that Avamar technology from EMC and extend it further to now support protection of workloads, with Exchange and SQL Server being the first two that they support. I don't believe it's the latest versions, but it is still coming in. They are starting to support key applications and workloads. But it's just VMs. So if you've got anything that's physical, no. And it can't be extended by third parties. Whereas DPM can start to integrate and be extended through things like the generic data source protection. And when we think about centralizing all of that, with Ops Manager, DPM can scale management across a lot of different DPM servers. But with vSphere, each vCenter is capped, or vCenter data protection is capped at 10 appliances per vCenter. So each vSphere data protection can protect up to 100 VMs per appliance. So something to be aware of. And one final bit, actually, integrated disaster recovery. I've given Microsoft the yellow for yes there, because DPM to DPM for DR, whilst it's low cost and it could be automated with something like Orchestrator, it's still a little bit, it's not a true DR type scenario or solution. And VMware with SRM have a pretty strong offering, and I'm sure many of you have evaluated or maybe you use it in your environments. But there's stuff coming from Microsoft, and I believe it's been released to the web now as well, that actually will provide orchestration around Hyper-V Replica. So giving you a very, very competitive solution versus SRM. So I urge you to check that out on the web. When we focus on heterogeneous management, I was going to do a quick demonstration here, just the simplicity at which I can start to extend my infrastructure. me close that down and go back to VMM. How I can start to extend my infrastructure beyond just my Hyper-V infrastructure. I want to ensure that I'm providing integration at as many points as possible with existing investments that I may have in my environment. And this is where something Microsoft has been adamant at providing from the very start. From early versions of System Center, we've supported managing non-Microsoft environments, whether that's from a monitoring, whether that's from a VM management, whatever it may be. And if we see here in the Fabric view, if I look at my vCenter servers here, you'll see that I've got a vCenter server already attached to VMM. So that's the one key thing to be aware of. If you want VMM to manage your vSphere infrastructure and manage the day-to-day tasks like creating VMs, vMotioning VMs, moving stuff around, removing VMs, whatever it may be, then I need to bring in vCenter first. I can't go direct to ESXi hosts. It doesn't work that way. I go to vCenter, and then at that point, I go back to my Fabric view, add resources, ESX hosts and clusters, right at the top there. Oops. And then I go through a very quick wizard, specify a run as account, in this case a run as account that is applicable to the ESXi hosts themselves, not vCenter. And then it will scan my vCenter and show me which machines or which hosts I can bring in. Now this is a cluster, and so it's going to bring in the three hosts that are part of that cluster. But if that was an individual set of hosts, I could choose to bring in some and leave others, whatever it may be. And we'll go finish. And that's going to bring in those vSphere hosts, and we can start to manage those effectively. And within a couple of clicks, we've got our hosts. Now, what you'll notice is when this is finished, that these hosts have been brought in limited state. So VMM can't actually manage all of the things it can possibly manage with the ESXi host yet. So I need to do a little bit of extra work in the properties, in the management, and we retrieve a certificate to effectively establish secure communication between VMM, vCenter, and the ESXi host. And then we've changed from OK limited to OK. And it's at that point that I can start to manage day-to-day the key tasks in my vSphere infrastructure. And that's just one example, one very quick example, of some of the heterogeneous management capabilities within System Center. But it's not just about virtualization. It's also about integrating with the underlying fabric. How do we effectively manage servers and network and storage? The hypervisor we mentioned. What can I do around guest OSs? Is it just about managing Windows? Absolutely not. What about management tools? I've got an investment in HP tools or CA or BMC or whatever it may be. How do I integrate there? And finally, different application frameworks on the top. So right at the bottom, that fabric view, many of our partners are plugging in at so many different layers now within the Microsoft stack. Take partners like HP and Dell, fantastic management packs that allow operations manager to monitor their key pieces of their infrastructure, whether they're servers, storage, whatever they may be. NetApp, another great management pack in the on-command set of technologies. But they're also going beyond just management packs and providing integration with Orchestrator to automate cool stuff within their storage array, like provisioning new LUNs and snapshotting and all of that cool stuff they can do. And think about Cisco, where they're integrating at the hypervisor level with the Nexus 1000V. Lots of our hardware partners are doing cool stuff to plug in and make the solution for you more acceptable and more appropriate for your environment. We talked about VMM managing the different hypervisor stacks, and again, there's a session in the morning that talks about this in more detail. But Hyper-V as a platform, a lot of people just think, well, it's Windows on Hyper-V and that's it. But we work incredibly hard to establish and build a strong relationship with the Linux community and vendors that support the Linux community, so much so that many of the Hyper-V drivers now are in the root of the Linux kernel, meaning that when you deploy certain distributions of Linux onto Hyper-V, it's optimized from the word go. No extra tools to install, no Hyper-V integration components, it's just optimized for the word go. And we're always working to add more functionality to these Linux operating systems to get them on parity with those of Windows on Hyper-V. So we're doing a lot of work there. But it's not just about running them in virtual machines. It's also about deploying them from templates. So VMM is providing that granular level of configuration now for Linux operating systems as well as Windows. But then the monitoring comes in with Operations Manager, providing that granular level of monitoring, not just for Windows Server, but for the different Linux distributions out there as well. When we start to think about integrating with the big management tools out there, through the orchestrator integration packs, I can start to automate tasks like produce a ticket in BMC, in their service desk technology. I need to create a new virtual machine, so I'll create a ticket in BMC. I want to create a new virtual machine. BMC, through orchestrator, talks to virtual machine manager. Virtual machine manager deploys that virtual machine, tells orchestrator it's done. Orchestrator talks back to BMC, ticket closed. But that integration between these different tools and management tool sets, driven by System Center as that central brain, ensures that you can take advantage of your existing investments and make use of new ones like System Center. And finally, Windows Server is a fantastic platform for .NET. Phenomenal stuff. But it's also a great platform for a scaled deployment of other non-Microsoft application frameworks. And not just deploying them, but also monitoring them and maintaining them as well. Again, all through System Center. So right through the stack, Microsoft is focused on providing comprehensive management across all of those different layers. When we start to compare with VMware, their multi-hypervisor management, they've got two options now. Number one is vCloud Automation Center, which brings in management of Hyper-V environments to a certain extent, mainly associated with provisioning new VMs onto those Hyper-V hosts. But you'll have to license every single Hyper-V host separately on top of your core vCloud suite. But it can still be done. And Dynamic Ops was a great technology that enabled you to manage these different environments. But there's another option you've got, and that's the multi-hypervisor manager. And if you're licensed for vSphere, then you've got the licenses for this multi-hypervisor manager tool, which you can download, and version 1.1 has just gone into beta. However, it doesn't have some of the key capabilities like triggering live migrations of Hyper-V VMs or managing clusters. That kind of capability, VMM does have for managing the VMware infrastructure. And absolutely, VMM, you're not going to create distributed switches or new fault-tolerant VMs or some of the more advanced capabilities. But we stipulate on the TechNet web page, VMM is just doing the day-to-day tasks for managing the vSphere infrastructure and bringing it into something broader within System Center. When we talk about monitoring, System Center with its ecosystem of management packs, monitoring those different elements enables you to see great value around your existing investments and what we can get the visibility there as well. So, before we wrap up with some cost discussion, Microsoft and VMware on some fronts are similar in their approaches, but in others, like hybrid, we're slightly different. So the Microsoft approach to delivering hybrid infrastructure, we've got a Microsoft private cloud, perhaps in your data center, but is that exclusively Microsoft technology in there? And the answer is no. I could have VMware technology in there, Citrix Zen Server technology in there, but System Center is managing that as a whole and allowing you to pool and abstract all of those resources and present them through as private clouds. And we can connect them to other private clouds with a similar setup if need be through System Center. Tools like App Controller can give us visibility across those different clouds, whether they're running on our infrastructure or with a service provider. When we think about our relationship now with service providers and public clouds like Azure, through System Center again, we provide that one place to view all of that information to enable you to deploy to those different places. And we saw that this morning in the keynote as well with Michael, deploying up to Azure using System Center. But there's a lot of commonalities running through the stack, whether it's identity with Active Directory. All of this is based on AD. So when I log into my virtual infrastructure, it knows who I am. It knows what I've got access to. It knows what I should and shouldn't be doing. When we think about management, System Center is that core. When we think about virtualization, as Vijay showed this morning, we can move those virtual disks from on-prem up into Azure, and then as we deploy going forward in Azure, we're deploying from our core templates that we built on-premise. And when we think about development, that Visual Studio integration, build once, deploy anywhere. Deploy to Azure, deploy to on-premise Windows Server, and manage it through System Center through the monitoring and integration with Visual Studio. But the VMware approach is just slightly different. The vCloud, on-premise perhaps, within your data center, with vCloud Director as that self-service portal. connected to other vClouds through the vCloud connector, which would allow you to move templates, move virtual machines between those two different infrastructures. But when you start to think about what the new vCloud service that was recently published and some of the vCloud service providers, the partners that are out there as well, you'll use a similar approach using that vCloud connector to extend your infrastructure and match with theirs. So giving you that option. But then there is one other option now with the vCloud Automation Center, which gives you that ability to manage and integrate with Amazon and Hyper-V and Zen Server. So the question is, do I use vCloud Automation Center? And then do I need to go back to vCloud Connector for anything? Or do I need to go back to vCloud Director again? We're looking for one source of where I need to go. And at the moment, there's a couple of different places I could go to manage my wider hybrid infrastructure. But with System Center, it's all in one place. So the kind of last focus area to wrap up is costs. Now, I wanted to go through a simple scenario, and all of this is based on retail costs, website costs that are publicly available, and all of the references are given at the bottom of the slides. And I chose a round figure. 500 may be too small for a private cloud. I don't know. It depends on your environment. But I chose the following options. So 500 VM private cloud, and I chose a ratio that was fairly aggressive, 15 to 1. We see 10 to 1 quite commonly. Maybe some people running less, maybe some people running a lot more. We chose 15 to 1, which equates to 34 hosts with two procs, and I chose 16 core processors. Pretty scalable, but that's largely irrelevant. The two sockets is the key thing. Now, I excluded Windows Server licensing from both sides here, because if I were to download Hyper-V Server and then attach System Center, and I were to buy vSphere's infrastructure, so I've got the hypervisor, and I've got all of their management tools, I'm in the same situation from a Windows Server perspective. I don't have any guest operating system licenses on the Microsoft side, unless I buy some, and the same on the VMware side. So I nullified that number. But if you did want to add Windows Server licensing, I'd buy 68 procs, 34 hosts, two CPUs, of Windows Server Data Center. Now, it's actually sold as two proc packs now, so it would just be 34 licenses. But either way, that's irrelevant. And what we need to ensure we're delivering the private cloud is that comprehensive management, the self-service, the automation, the engines that are powering that, and the comprehensive deployment capabilities. So on the Microsoft side, Hyper-V Server is pretty cheap, free download, gives me all of those Hyper-V capabilities that you'll learn about more at the conference. And then System Center, based on the retail pricing, for 68 procs, again, in two processor packs. And this is the data center edition, meaning that no matter how many VMs I run on these hosts, I'm able to manage them completely in terms of monitoring, in terms of VM deployment, in terms of automation, service management, all of those key components, and things like Advisor as well. So the total cost is a cool $122,000 based on retail, but that provides all of those key capabilities. But then on the VMware side, things are a little bit pricier. The vCloud Suite Enterprise Edition, which is the top-end edition of the vCloud Suite, which contains all of those components, so the vCorps, the vFabric Application Director. I need vCenter on top. It doesn't include that. But it does include the vSphere Enterprise Plus Hypervisor, Distributed Switch, all of the cool stuff in there. So the cost is a little bit more expensive, and I need to add SNS as well. So the previous Microsoft example included Software Assurance. So it's lacking in a few areas, like the ITIL-based service management, some of the granular configuration management. The workload protection is getting better, getting more comprehensive, but some of the in-guest management that Microsoft can provide has a level of depth beyond what vSphere and VMware is providing in this example. And that DevOps integration, or that developer operations relationship at least, the ability for us to provide an integrated deployment environment for the developers, but also ongoing monitoring of their infrastructure, is stronger on that Microsoft side. And we've given countless examples of how third parties, partners, many of them are here on the show floor, extend those System Center solutions to provide you more granularity and capability. So, to wrap up, just got a few minutes. We've covered quite a lot of stuff. And this is, remember, this is part one, where we cover private cloud, and on Wednesday we'll look in more detail at Hyper-V and some of the capabilities there. But Hyper-V with System Center provides that more granular capability for deploying those applications and services. Whether they're deploying onto a Hyper-V platform, or if you're managing a VMware infrastructure, you can deploy them onto that as well. There's nothing stopping you doing it that way. that deep level of 360-degree insight with Advisor, with GSM, with the key stuff within Operations Manager, providing a lot of not only depth insight, but if something goes wrong, we can help you remediate those issues faster by helping you understand why something's gone wrong, what the possible causes could be, and how we could resolve that quicker. DPM provides more granular protection for key workloads, protecting other workloads beyond Exchange and SQL, like SharePoint, for instance, Active Directory. It's got awareness around a number of key workloads. We talked about heterogeneous management, and it's getting closer. You know, VMware are doing more and more around managing a non-VMware environment. Things like vCloud Automation Center is a perfect example of that. But Microsoft has been doing this for a while. Not only monitoring, but now VM management and also some of the other orchestration elements as well. When we looked at the hybrid infrastructure, just different approaches. Microsoft taking a very system center centralized focus from a management perspective across those different places that you can run your virtualized infrastructure. Whether those different places are running purely on Hyper-V or whether they're a mix, centralizing them through system center is providing a lot of control for organizations. And then we showed some of the savings on costs that can be made with the Microsoft environment. And that's why some of the companies like Domino's and Pella and some of the other big organizations are choosing Hyper-V and System Center for their private cloud infrastructure. And with that, I thank you so much for your time. I realize it's a long day. I hope you have a great evening and the rest of MMS. And with that, if you've got any questions, please feel free to come up to the front and I'll try and answer them. And again, thank you for your time.